Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with His fadl, His grace, His mercy, established this gathering of dhikr, and in a very blessed night, all of us, Allah ta'ala has given us the tawfiq that we can remember Him, we can remember Allah, we can do the dhikr of Allah, and that we can be far from negligence and laziness. And this is Allah's massive grace and mercy and blessings on us, that after doing all of the dhikr, that when we will depart from this gathering, then we will all depart with Allah Ta'ala's rewards and treasures. My brothers, we listen and we always speak about this topic, but in reality, we don't value and appreciate these points. Appreciation, the life of appreciation, is different in contrast to what we do, and listening is different to doing and appreciating. If I say that outside it is extremely cold, when you hear this and you don't appreciate this, you say, yeah, it's cold. After listening to what I'm saying, you leave, you go outside, and the consequence is that you will go through the cold, you'll wander through the cold, and you'll be upset. You'll get a cold, you'll get a flu, you'll get ill. But if somebody appreciates and values, if I'm saying that it's cold, and not just listens and actually accepts and then prepares for that cold climate, then what will happen is that that individual will totally prepare and leave the home or that place with preparation so he can be safe from the cold. So we hear definitely that we are going to die, and after dying will come the night of the grave, the first night in the grave. And yes, we do hear this and we listen to this, but we don't appreciate and value this. If we were to appreciate and value this, then we would see that our lives are in accordance with this preparation and warning. Our life, our earnings would be accordance to this message. Our fikr and concern, every second of our life would be focused on the fact that we're going to pass away and there's a life in the hereafter. We hear all day long, we listen all day long, even in this majlis I'm speaking to you and you're listening. But we should do dua that Allah, please allow us to instill value and appreciation into what we hear, so that a change and positive improvement of life comes to us. Our life that is to come after this life, which is the real life, the long life, the hereafter, we need to prepare for that life today. If we prepare today, then the life that will come tomorrow will be beneficial for us, a better life. We know this, don't we, all of us? Yes, we do. If I start preparing today, I'll have a good life in the hereafter. But if my preparation is weak, my life in the hereafter will be weak. If I'm weak now, I'll be weak tomorrow, and I'll be weak in the hereafter. So today the preparation we must do in this world for the life to come thereafter, the most beneficial preparation is so that we can make our life in the hereafter the best. So, what is the good preparation for the hereafter? What should be our preparation now while we are living for the life to come in the hereafter? And if we can understand this, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, then the person who understands, he will do. And he will start the preparation, alhamdulillah. Now, we should forget our life that's gone before us if we waste the time. Let's start today. Let's start preparing positively today. So what is it that we should do to prepare that will help us in the hereafter, will help us in the akhirah? What should we do? That preparation is one. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Qur'an very concisely, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allahu Akbar. Concise, brief statement Allah Ta'ala is going to. One point you need to implement. Allah Ta'ala says, I've made the universe, I've sent you into this universe. After sending you into the world, you were like an animal, foolish, like an owl. You knew nothing, you had no aql, no manners, no principles. You don't know about eating or wife, how to treat your... You could have got married to your mother, fool you know. You could have had passion, desire, you wouldn't have left your sister. You had no manners, no system, no civilization, just like the animals, what they do. But insan, Allah Ta'ala said that I favored you the most. Allah Ta'ala said I favored you the most. And how? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah Ta'ala says that I sent you the greatest of human beings, who is most beloved to me. In the whole universe, he is most beloved to me. Allah Ta'ala said, I selected him for you. A human being, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. For you, Allah Ta'ala said, I selected him. Abbas, for you, for this brother, for that brother, for Mawlana Saeed Sahib, for this person, for every one of us here, everyone in the world. Let's take ourselves personally. Who did Allah Ta'ala select for me? Rasulullah SAW. And if he selected for someone else, I wouldn't say the name. What would be your hal, my hal, if we didn't have this association? So who did Nabi, who did Allah Ta'ala select for who? For me. And Allah Ta'ala selected Rasulullah SAW for me, for you, for all of us. Just like I say, here, come here. Come here, brother, why are you upset? Go, you know this person I've selected for you as a protector, for example. You have a link with this person now. He'll give you a job, he will train you, guide you, mentor you, coach you, and that person's very skilled. Within a minute, he could make you whatever you want to be in your career. He could make you a person who can cook burgers and delicacies. He could train you within minutes how to cut chickens, if that's your career. And you'll be grateful. Hazrat Sahib, thank you very much. You've given me a good association, a good link, good connection. You've selected a good person for me. So he will train me quickly and he'll give me a job. And then I'll be able to be successful. So Allah Ta'ala said, what to us? That I have for you, me, for every one of us, every human being should think for himself. Allah Ta'ala said, who have I selected for you? My Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. So Allah says, who is my guide? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my guide. Who is your rahbar? Is no one else. Who is it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Individually. Each and every one of us. There's no one in between. Me, direct association with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala has given us that connection. No one in between. I don't need to go through a middleman, broker. You, me, we have an individual link with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no parda, no veil in between. There's no veil in between. Allah Ta'ala said, that's it. I have selected Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for you. And the guide, he has a direct link with you. He trains you directly and he tells you that you need to do this now, do that now. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated, Subhanallah. That Allah Ta'ala selected you and Allah Ta'ala selected me for you, for your company. And Allah Ta'ala said that you are the name given to the group of people who have been selected for Rasulullah is the Ummah. And Allah said that you'll have such a link, you'll have such a strong link. That Rasulullah said that, forget the world, I won't even forget you at that time on the day of resurrection, the plane of resurrection. Subhanallah. What a great guide. Allah Ta'ala said that I'll give you guidance there. I'll guide you there, I'll protect you there. So after today, first principle we need to note down today, that we should not accept anyone as our guide. Say it loudly, we will not. Because the person who has or will be deviated. We have one guide. Allah Ta'ala selected us direct. Allah's beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is our only guide, our one guide, our best guide. Why? Allah Ta'ala said, you don't know anything, I'll give you the dunya, I sent you in dunya, you will come back to me as foolish people without practicing. If you come back to me as sinful people, then the door of Jahannam will be open, you'll be thrown into hellfire, end of story. But Allah Ta'ala said that I selected the guide for you, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he will take you away from the path of Jahannam and he will take you to the path of Jannah. To the doors of paradise. Allahu Akbar. What a great guide Allah Ta'ala selected for us. He will save you from all calamities, darkness, because the world is a place of test, challenges. Here, lots of things will go wrong. Open playing field. Do what you want, feel what you want, say what you want. But Allah Ta'ala said, I sent you a rahbar, a guide. And whoever accepts the guide and follows the guide, then your rahbar, Nabi al-Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like I said to you, that look, this man's got the skills. Go to him, he'll train you. So Allah Ta'ala said that this guide I chose for you, his function will be what? That whoever follows him, imitates him, then the result will be straight road to paradise. Straight road to paradise. What a great, great piece of news. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. End of story. No guide. So if you want to go to paradise, I want to go to paradise. Zaid wants to go to paradise. Razee wants to go to paradise. This sister wants to go to paradise. This woman wants to go to paradise. And Zainab wants to go to paradise. And this person, whichever woman, whichever sister, everybody wants to go to Jannah, paradise, isn't it? Yeah. So what is the route to Jannah? Allah says, do nothing else except one. Just run after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. End of story. End of story. And whoever doesn't imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever doesn't follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nobody can imagine he'll go to paradise. Doesn't matter how much he claims, I'm a Jannati, I'm pious. He's totally speaking nonsense, rubbish, a waste of time, total nonsense chat. A person who doesn't follow the Prophet and he says he's going to Jannah, he's lying. In this world he's wretched and cursed, and in the Akhirah he's wretched and cursed, and he's deceiving himself or herself. Fact. That person is deceiving himself or herself. So today, me and you right now, let's think that who are we following today? Who are we obeying and imitating today? Let's ask ourselves honestly, who am I following? And whoever I'm following, then obviously I'm doing that function. those actions. Whoever I'm running after, imitating or following, I'll be implementing the actions of that person. So if I've made Rasulullah as my guide, then I would be doing actions the way that he had done the actions, isn't it? So today, let's look inside ourselves and look in our the sisters, brothers, everyone who's listening to me now. Just look down, bend your heads down, focus on your hearts. Ask yourself honestly that Allah is saying that follow my Nabi that I sent you as a guide. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But who am I following today? Who is my guide? Who is my role model? Okay, I've made a mistake up to now, but at least I've understood today now clearly. Or do I not understand now? Do we understand now what I'm saying? Because it's something, even if now we don't understand after what I'm saying, then what chance do we have? Then we have a whole week between now and the next Thursday. That from last Thursday until now, how many days have passed? How many hospitals, how many people have passed away? How many people are lying down in hospitals in this week? How many people have lined up in the dunya? How many people have passed away from this world? Maybe next Thursday I won't be here. We won't be here. We don't know. There's no guarantee. So what we need to do is today, right now, let's promise Allah that if we want to live our life correctly, then who is our role model? Who is our role model? In whose shadow will we live our lives? Rasulullah, Nabi al-Kareem, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whoever does not accept this today, who doesn't want to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the ultimate role model, whoever doesn't accept that it's cold outside and he walks out without the protection, he'll get a flu. So whoever doesn't accept today and leaves Rasulullah and lives his life or her life, in no way or form can that person be successful. In this world, that person will be wretched, and in the hereafter, that person will be wretched. And I'm saying this clearly, because this is a fact. With Iman, we need to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every aspect of life, Nabi al-Kareem is our role model. Eating, drinking, standing, sitting, sleeping, going to our wife, children, sitting, discussing, running our shop, business, transactions, walking, talking, relatives, meeting people, mu'asharat, mu'amalat, ibadat, everything. Everything. Nabi sallallahu is a guide for everything. So who do we imitate in all facets of life? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not that I follow him in one thing and I leave him in another thing. That I pray salah, I imitate him, and everything else in my life, business, I run myself. What kind of following is this? What? Oh no, I can't do this, I'm forced to do this. Who is forcing you to do this? Who are you running after then in your business transactions? Who are you running after in implementing your other parts of life? That not just you come to the masjid and you start imitating Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we obey him, we follow him. And what about all the other parts of life outside, away from the masjid? Most of them. No. If you're sitting at home, who do we imitate? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I'm speaking to my wife, who do I imitate? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I'm sitting with my children, bringing my children up, who do I imitate? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I'm eating, who do I imitate? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many ways of eating there are. Many ways of eating. People can eat, you can eat with your ears if you want. With your ears. Yes. There are thousands of ways shaitan has made for us to eat. You eat, you can dance and eat, stand and eat, sit and eat, lie down and eat, speak and eat, chit-chat and eat, embrace and eat. There are thousands of ways. You look in the dunya how people eat today. Isn't this the case? We, the believers, how do we eat? Now go and look at the people who follow Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we just have to imitate them. That's it. Whether you have aqal or not, we have to do naqal, imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes when you're called to a da'wah, speak about Pakistan, about our country, because I analyze and say, huh? From the gate you see, what people, who has invited me? Are these people who imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who have invited to the walima, to the wedding? And I leave from the back door. Allahu Akbar, that this what's going on inside it? May Allah ta'ala forgive. There's no imitation of the sunnah. That it's better to save yourself from the gathering, that these people are like animals. How are they eating? Look at them. Look, is this not the case? Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right or am I wrong? This is the point to understand. So there are thousands of ways to eat, but there's one tariqah that Allah Ta'ala has given, ordained. That's the best way. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And when you eat in this way, then that food will become nur. It will save you from calamities, from thousands of diseases, thousands of problems. Yani, one sunnah I have read about, it's a small sunnah, so-called small, in magnitude maybe, in action, weight, which is also the tariq of doing wudu comes in this. And look, this can be a small factor of life. There's so many fadail virtues I've read about this. I was amazed that this sunnah, small scale, but so many fadail. Shall I tell you what is this sunnah? Because we want to imitate the Prophet, although we may not feel like this is an ajeeb, unique sunnah. What is this? That before eating, have something salty. You know, a little bit of salt next to you, and just dab that salt on your finger and eat it. And then after you eat, when you finish eat, conclude with a salty item with salt. And it's written, the Hakims have written, that you will get cures for thousands of illnesses through this practice. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Has anyone emphasized on this in life? One is this, to practice the sunnah, you'll get the thawab for practicing sunnah. And then when you practice the sunnah, then your deen and your dunya becomes good. Your health becomes good, people say. Your blood pressure goes up, subhanAllah. Through the nisbat of this sunnah action, you control your blood pressure, the blood pressure goes down. The same salt, subhanAllah. The same salt. So if we do naqal sharifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's naqal sharifa, his blessed sunnah, if we imitate it, then imagine the barakat, the blessings in imitating sunnah. And imagine if you keep the full beard, how many diseases you will eliminate from your life, and the fadail, the virtues and the wisdoms in doing this action. Tell me, what are they? That with regards to the world and the hereafter, we get the benefits, because we are, obviously, if you're imitating the Prophet ﷺ, it's a great action indeed. But worldly benefits, we can run out of discussing them. Run out, we'll run out, and there will be so many in number. But what's the issue today? We don't want to imitate the Prophet ﷺ. We come to Salah. We've reached to Salah. We're doing prostration. I'm praying Taraweeh, Salah, Ramadan, and fasting. But who do I imitate? Where's my face? My appearance? Away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what kind of balance of life is this? Is this a balance of life? Is this a balance? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Is this the transmission, the commentary of this verse, our lifestyle? Is it? No. So if in my life, Allah Ta'ala is saying that He is the best of those that we need to imitate, we have to do this, otherwise we have failed. If my life is devoid of the sunnah, if a second of my life passes away from the imitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if I don't do his naql and I don't follow his lifestyle, then I cannot reach to success in the hereafter. Impossible. Impossible. In other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take any part of his life. If I give you, let's take for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, guided us, and Allah Ta'ala mentioned this, and we need to compare this now to our lives. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then never did I take revenge on anybody personally. Never did I, for my sake, whether it's for money's sake or wealth or my personal status, did I take revenge on somebody personally with a personal vendetta. But if somebody said halal is haram or broke the sharia, then yes, I would go against that person. Nabi says, I would challenge that person, said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had this basis of life. This was his basis of life. Tell me. That what a great tariqah and method for our life, to if we implement this and imitate him and follow him. That we never think about this, do we? Now what do we do? What naql do we do? That we, if we want to become good human beings, we want to go high in status and become successful. If we want to make our character high, then on this point we need to concentrate. That do we take revenge with people? Do we seek revenge against people? If I follow this sunnah, me or you, this one sunnah, alhamdulillah, then thousands of diseases of our body will be eliminated from our life. When we go and lie down on the bed, don't know how many people I think badly about. This person did this against me, that person did this against me. We start from our relatives, from our sisters, we start from our brother-in-laws. Want to seek revenge from our parents? We'll think about our parents. I tell you the honest truth. Oh, my mother did this, my father did this with him, he didn't do this to me. Okay, watch what I do now as well. And then we start planning and methods, and shaitan comes. He said this to me some years ago and he disrespected me, disowned me. Watch what I do, how I disrespect him. Watch how I degrade him and rub his nose in the dirt. All of our arguments are on a personal vendetta when it comes to deen. No, it's okay, it's fine. But if either the deen is being broken and compromised, no. We should amend the relatives. Halal and haram is fine. Everything is okay. So when a person dissociates from Islam or degrades Islam or doesn't practice Islam, we will have ties and relationships with those people. But when it comes to personal issues, if somebody's given me a pain for £5, until I don't take £15 from him, I will not leave that person. So if that person's done something against me personally, I'll have hatred for him. But if Islamically, if that person is far from the deen, I'll have love for that person or affection. No. Rasulullah taught us the opposite. Such a big example that no person in the world can respond to this or reply to this role model factor. In history, forget about answering, rather the people were forced to accept. Like for example, one person wrote a book some time ago, you probably will have read this book, in that he said the 100 greatest people in history. Something like that was the title of the book. The 100 greatest or most influential people in history. He was an American writer, I think. After a lot of research, he said, I know that people research on a lot of things. So he selected 100 people in the whole of mankind. He said, who are the best people who passed away? A very good book. I can't remember the writer. I read this quite a long time ago. It was in English. I think it obviously is in English, the book. the 100 most influential people, something like this, the name of the book. So when he wrote about this and all the names came and many people's names came, and obviously the book was called 100 most influential. Yeah, this one. And he said that I'm forced to accept the highest percentage. He said, according to my research, a ranking of the 100 most influential person in history, Michael Hart. And he said that in the world, honestly, I have to decide who is the most influential person from these 100. He said, from my research, is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that ink cannot dry. He said, I cannot cheat here. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam most verily is the most influential person in history. And if this person accepts and said that he is the most influential, that person is saying, who doesn't even man. And then, for example, those people who do have iman and accept that Rasulullah is the greatest and they don't follow him, then imagine the destruction. Imagine the destruction. How can those people think that we will live with sakina? How can we say that our lives are the best? How can we say that in the dunya and the akhirah we will be successful? How can we say this? Tell me, think for a moment. What a big contrast in our lives. Allah's Nabi says, I'm such a great example. In Fatah Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, he drew a beautiful line, an example that no one in the world can compare. That if he wanted to do dhulam for many days and months, that all of the pain that was inflicted on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, children, they saw the pain. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, she was 6 years old. Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, she was 7, 8 years old. And the pain the family experienced. That Rasulullah was praying salah, Abu Jahl party did so much dhulam, oppression, that there was no limit, so extreme dhulam and oppression on the Prophet. Onto the back of the Prophet, they threw the intestines of animals, and Hazrat Zainab went, she's removing that dirt with her hands, wiping the face of her father, and she was distressed, and Rasulullah said, don't worry Zainab, your father, no one can affect your father in a bad way. And such an example was Rasulullah ﷺ of pain, of distress, of how he suffered pain and hardships from other people, the worst extreme pains that people sent on him. He was standing, all other people were standing around him, and what took at that time? That many, nowhere can you see an example like this. And it was asked, that, do you know what I could do to you? This was the context of Makkah. And they said, we can see Rasulullah, you're here and you're going to take over the city. But Rasulullah was Kareem, merciful. You are Rahim. You are merciful. You are kind. You are forgiving. And no one could imagine that Rasulullah's beautiful words that came out from his words. He said, go, I forgive all of you. Subhanallah. Imagine all the pain he went through. But he said, go, I forgive all of you. An ajeeb waqia. Hinda, she wasn't a Muslim at that time. She was the wife of Abu Sufyan. And she was a big enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, A1 enemy. Astaghfirullah, she's the one who planned and plotted against Hazrat Hamza. She took out the heart and chewed it. She was an extreme enemy, high class A1, top draw enemy of Islam. Abu Sufyan became Muslim. He became a Muslim outside of Makkah. He was the husband of Hinda. And then when he came home, and people said that coming to Islam. So when he went home, they said, what are you doing to Abu Sufyan? What have you done here? What game is this you're playing? He said, look, you need to understand. And then she jumped onto her husband and she put him onto the ground. And then she sat on his chest. She started punching him to Abu Sufyan. Imagine, Hinda. She said, you, how can you come into my house and give his name? I will kill you as well. Khair. And then he, with difficulty, saved himself from his wife in the night. He said, let me see. And what happened? Makkah was overtaken, and it was the night, the 14th of the moon, and the people were sleeping. And Rasulullah in that night, when the moon was out, full moon, was on his own, and Rasulullah was doing tawaf of the Kaaba on his own. Subhanallah. Hinda sat alone, silent, that what is happening here? What is going on here? Let me analyze myself. Subhanallah, Rasulullah was doing tawaf, sometimes was doing dhikr, sometimes doing tilawat, sometimes going to multazama doing dua, and sometimes doing sujood in front of and a hatim, or maqam Ibrahim, ajeeb feeling. All night long, Rasulullah was doing this. And Hinda, when she saw all of this, subhanallah, she could not bear that noor and that light. She ran back home and said, so difficult did my night pass. So difficult did my night pass. The morning came, she put the niqab on her face, she went straight to the Prophet ﷺ and stood and said, and she stood and said, and her face couldn't be recognized. The Rasulullah said, Hinda, you? Rasulullah SAW recognized who she was hidden. Behind the veil, don't know what's going to happen to me. But she did big zulm on Hamza radiallahu anhu. And she said, I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I need to present myself. And Rasulullah SAW said, Hind are you? And she said, yes, oh, Prophet SAW, it's me. And she took her niqab up. And Rasulullah SAW said, go, I have forgiven you. Allahu Akbar. She said, please tell me how to recite the kalma. After reciting the kalma, she said, Ya Rasulullah SAW, shall I tell you the truth? That some moments ago, when I was a kafira, disbeliever, then there was the person who I disliked the most was you. And this moment, the whole world and the universe, the person who I love the most is with your blessed face. Subhanallah. Imagine, Hinda said this. Imagine. So akhlaq, good conduct. Rasulullah SAW's greatest quality was akhlaq. That he said, I never sought revenge on anybody due to a personal issue. Never, my brothers. On this one sunnah, if we do amal, that at least we should think when we sit down, half of our life passes, at least this person did this much dhulumdi, I'll do this with him. He did this against me, I'll do this against that person. She said this to me, or he said this to me, I'll do this. On phone calls and revenge plots and meeting with people at home, in meetings, every minute we're planning and plotting to take revenge, isn't it? Because we make deals with people, or deals go sour by chance that person's come to the masjid, and then he puts his shoes down where you put your shoes. You say, oh, I'll tell him what to do after. Watch me, I'll show him. Or for example, somebody hits your car. Every time around us, there's a challenge. There's one point. Today, we should promise that our personal issues, alhamdulillah, we will do total amal on the sunnah of Rasulullah, that never will we seek revenge on a person. And if that passion and desire is burning inside us that we want to take revenge, say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he gave us such a great example that he said, this is the worst action from a person, that he seeks revenge against another person due to a personal issue. No. Rasulullah never did this. Rather, what should we do for that person? We should do du'as for that person. We should make du'as for that person. We should pray for that person. That Allah guide this person, correct the person. Why is he an enemy of me? Why does he want bad for me? Allah put love in that person's heart. Why does he pester me? Why is he giving me distress? Why is he against me, this person? Why is he out against me? Alhamdulillah, what happened then is that the biggest point here is that subhanAllah, this is the sunnah, and this tariqah will make you very close to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Very close you'll become to the Prophet with the fadl of Allah, with the virtues of Allah. And you'll feel the nur of this action, that how a person becomes close to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through imitating this one great quality of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of akhlaq. And aside from that, the darajat, Allah Ta'ala elevates the status. And the biggest point is that in your heart you'll get sakina, cool. When enmity of a person comes out of your heart, then you get content in your heart, satisfied and cool, and you sleep nicely, deep sleep, and you'll have nice dreams, you'll have no worry of any points or issues that have to seek revenge against someone or hurt somebody, and you'll have a pure and clean life, and you'll forget other people or enemies against you, you'll do dua for them. If they come into your mind or heart, you'll do dua from your heart, Allah, forgive them. Make this your common action. Make this your common action. That whenever you do dua, ask this dua, that Allah, those people who committed excess against me, those people who are enemies against me, who did bad against me, Allah, who left this world, Allah, I forgive them. And those people who favored me, who from young age till now, deen and dunya, they favored me, helped me, assisted me, Allah Ta'ala, give them ajr adheem, give them the highest reward. This is the dua we should ask for, isn't it? After every salah. So these brothers, my brothers, these are wazaif. We are ready for wazifas and worship and actions. But akhlaq is a great wazifa lesson. That if we implement this lesson of Islam according to the Prophet ﷺ, then we say that we need to get guidance from the Prophet ﷺ. When we have an issue, a question, that Allah, what shall I do here? What should I do here? Then ask the Prophet ﷺ, look into the sunnah. Don't think I'm going to get a loss or a gain. No. Rasulullah ﷺ, if I am imitating him, then I will never get a loss. If temporarily I see a loss in the world, then consider that as a test. Yes. As a test, that see how much this person is a man for Rasulullah, how much love he has, or how much he does, or how much he has aqidah for the Prophet. So that would be a test. And I need to pass that test, alhamdulillah, then that person passes the hurdles. And he, for example, if you get lost wealth-wise, material-wise, financially, status-wise, maybe at home with family, friends, colleagues. But consider this is not a loss. This is the ajr that Allah will give for this. Allah will compensate many times over. If today I have a bit of pain due to this loss of call, that, oh, for example, I'm imitating Rasulullah and I'm following him and I'm imitating him and I took this step and I think that I'm getting some loss here. I can't see the gain. Totally, you may have lost. Yes, physically materially, but in reality it's not loss. It cannot be a loss, because if Allah Ta'ala said, I've made you your role, made Rasulullah your role model, he's your biggest guide, your biggest asset. And Allah Ta'ala, all the Nabis before Rasulullah said, Allah, please, if you could have included us in the Ummah of the Prophet so I could follow him myself. So do we promise, my brothers? Do we promise from our hearts? In every way, we will see guidance from the Prophet, the Rasulullah, that what did you do in this action? What did you do in this? So this was my main topic today, the main lesson, that the promptly I said a sin, is that don't seek revenge with anybody. Don't seek revenge, be cool-hearted, calm, and then a person who seeks revenge, then he's burning in the fire himself. We cannot seek revenge with anybody. We cannot take out revenge on anybody. There's one tariqah, that's it, Allah. Why should I take revenge out with that person? That you are the one who will make justice. Allah, I assign this case to you. End of story. End of story. So it doesn't matter how many punishments you give to that person, how many punishments you give, but there cannot be the bigger than the punishment that Allah will give to that person. Isn't it? Will it happen? No. So leave it. The why should I give punishment to this person? Allah Ta'ala, this is your choice, and it doesn't matter how much of a loss that person has given to me. Make this a solid trait in your life, an action that Rasulullah did the same way. I won't take out revenge from that person. But yes, if it's a Sharia issue, he's making halal haram, haram halal, then for the sake of Allah, you have to speak out whatever Sharia allows you to do, then you can challenge that person in a proper way, in a nice way. That's it, end of story. So from where I started my discussion, I'll summarize. That our life to come in the hereafter is the real life, and those people only will be successful in the hereafter. Not just those who pray Salah, not just those who recite Quran, who do Hajj. No. Only those people will be successful who their whole lives they imitated and followed who? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Totally from A to Z, that person will walk into Jannah laughing and smiling. Totally. Rasulullah's ibadah, that he demonstrated us top ibadah, all night long worshipping, praying. He demonstrated to us A1 top draw ibadah. Or he showed us how to fast with Ramadan and other fasts. But weak people like us, Rasulullah also showed a smaller scale ibadah. The 5 times salah is enough for you. You don't need to do more than that. So we're not capable that we do extreme physical labor, ibadah, that Rasulullah did all night long, all day long. But no problem. We need to imitate Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we'll do knuckle of those actions which were a bit smaller in scale, easier to implement. So easy for us. So it's so easy that Rasulullah demonstrated ibadah to us, worship to us, that is so easy and small scale and simple for us to implement. Easily a person can do this. And you can do high class, arduous tasks, physical tasks, but both, if you do both, then you will be implementing the Prophet and doing ittiba of Rasulullah. End of story. That's it. And so not just now, person who wakes up in the night, keeps fast in the morning, you say, oh, yeah, he's pious, he's taken all the numbers, he's the greatest. I remember I said to my Hazrat in the beginning, I said, Hazrat, that I want to keep fasts, nawafil, I want to keep voluntary fasts, I want to do these actions, that action. Hazrat Sahib said that, listen, that's fine, you can do these things, but better than this, yes, you can keep fast, the amount you can keep, but be careful that if this voluntary actions are challenging, clashing against the work I'm giving to you, the bleak work I'm telling you to go and teach people dhikr, teach them deen. If your nawafil, fast, etc. is restricting your work of the deen, then stop fasting, because then you will not be doing ittiba. Allah said, afdal is what? I'm giving you the work to go and do tabligh of the deen. Easy now. Easy. So anyone who says to me, I'm doing this about that, but it doesn't make any difference to me. Obviously, if you keep fast, then the work of tabligh will maybe suffer. It will diminish, be less in impact. I'm just giving an example. So what we need to see is that our status, whatever we're doing, how can I implement the deen and properly follow the deen and follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without making it difficult for me? So morning until evening, there should be no action in life, no job, no action, no function. That should be away from ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anything that is, then it will be refused in the hereafter as an action that can be given us success. Or our ibadat, mu'ashara, walking, talking, living, mu'amalat, interactions. Who do we need to do a naqal of? Imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we are loyal to the Prophet sallam, then Allah Ta'ala says, then that is the true success. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you all the tawfiq, capability and ability. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.